Opinions expressed on the following program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of the staff or management of KLAV.
Welcome to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts Bob Dancer and Richard W. Munchkin. Bob Dancer is America's premier video poker writer and teacher. He's in the Video Poker Hall of Fame, and he's written 10 books about video poker, including Video Poker for the Intelligent Beginner and the best-selling Million Dollar Video Poker. He helped develop the Video Poker for Winners computer software. Richard W. Munchkin has played blackjack, backgammon, and poker professionally and is in the Blackjack Hall of Fame. His book, Gambling Wizards, Conversations with the World's Greatest Gamblers, is a testament to the many ways you can succeed at gambling. The goal of the show is that, by listening, you'll be a more knowledgeable gambler tomorrow than you were yesterday. And now, here are Bob and Richard.
Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer, along with Richard Munchkin in studio this week. Good evening, Richard. What's going on?
Happy to be here.
All right. Last week, Richard called in, which worked pretty well. But he's here, and that actually is going to work better. Our guest tonight is going to be Al Francesco. He's one of the original members of the Blackjack Hall of Fame. He's the inventor of the big player technique for winning in blackjack. So we're going to talk all about that. We're going to also be talking to Greg Brown from videopoker.com. And we're going to have a surprise call in who is supposed to be on the line now, but I don't see him. So we're going to talk about something else. I read in the newspaper that people who play Scrabble have a higher IQ, test higher on IQ than people who don't have Scrabble, and they studied that. Now, this can be a chicken and the egg thing, meaning that, well, maybe it's the smarter people who play Scrabble to start with, but they apparently held that constant. So the idea was teaching your kids to play Scrabble will make them smarter later. Or people who play Scrabble or Sudoku or something tend to become smarter. Do you think that theory has any validity?
I do. And actually, years ago, there were many studies regarding chess with this regard, too. In fact, I was so hot on the idea, I went to my kids' school and said, you know, they have these after-school enrichment programs. And I said, gee, you know, they've had these studies that show how much better kids do that learn to play chess. And why don't you have an after-school enrichment program? And the principal said, that's a great idea. When can you start teaching it?
Uh-huh. So you said?
I said, next fall. And I taught chess at the grammar school for a few years there.
Good. All right, so I actually would think that players who don't normally play Scrabble or Sudoku, if they start playing that, they will find memorizing strategies to these games a lot easier and fit in. I would recommend they do that. We have a guest on the line who was new as a guest to Gambling with an Edge, although he's a voice that regular listeners will have heard before. He was a co-host for the first 6 months of this show. Frank Nealon, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
I was just calling to order a pizza.
Uh-huh.
Oh, this is the radio show?
This is the radio show. Now, what do you want to tell us tonight, Rich? Mr. Pizza.
Well, I thought you'd like to know. You know, I did all those funny show closes during my 6 month stay on the show. And what I've done is I've gone and compiled them all into like a single downloadable file.
Uh-huh.
And cut off the redundant bits so that it's a little easier listening, and added some audio explanations to the beginning of the files. So, you know, for the...
To explain some of the jokes?
What's that?
Did you do that to explain some of the jokes?
But just explaining the creative process that went into you know, making the closes. And, of
uh-huh.
course, John was a huge help in all that.
Good.
But we're up for an Electronic Arts Award, actually, possibly, for their show closes. So
interesting.
Kind of a big deal. And
it is a big
deal.
I
know a lot of people like them. So I put them on my site. If you go to my regular website, progressivevp.com,
uh-huh.
and go to the radio show page, all the way at the bottom, it says special show closes, and you just download the zip file by right-clicking on it.
Very good. So anybody who wants to listen to those show closes again can do it by going to progressivevp.com. Very good.
Right. They're all in MP3 format and, condensed so that you can just put them on a CD and listen to them in your car. Hey, I've been listening to the new show. Richard's doing a wonderful job.
Hey, thank you, Frank.
All right, thank you.
And you notice Bob gets a little grumpy. He likes to be scratched under the chin, right?
Okay. I do not get grumpy, and go away. Good to hear from you, Frank. All righty.
Good to hear from you. We'll talk to you soon, and great luck with the show, okay?
Thank you, Frank.
Thanks, Frank.
He may do well as a comedy writer. His mind is fertile, creative, and seems to know no limits. So
I'll take your word for it.
All right, I wish him well. Now, earlier, Rich and I were talking during the week, and you had an interesting point about we should discuss some video poker on the show. What were you saying?
Yeah, well, since you're really the only expert video poker player that I'm aware of that's really willing to discuss how to beat the game of video poker, and myself, being someone who doesn't play video poker at all, I thought, why not take this opportunity to be able to find out if someone is just starting out and wants to learn how to play video poker and actually make money at it, what should they do?
Okay. So I thought about that. And so this is going to be a series of 3-minute or so segments until we get tired of them. We'll call them Dancers Answers. And they'll be on different segments. There have to be a form of knowledge that will translate over on the radio. So so tonight what I want to talk about is seniors and senior promotion. Now, seniors can either be 50 or 55, depending on the promotion. For those of you who aren't there yet, your day will come. But if you are there, there's a number of recurring promotions.
I love the idea of making money just because I'm old.
That's it. You do. And at some casinos, if it wasn't for the seniors' promotions, I wouldn't be playing there. So, and I do play there because of the seniors' promotions. As an example of some of the ones, Coast Properties have Young at Heart programs one day a week. Mondays, for example, Gold Coast gives you 100 coin bonus for 4 natural fives, which is worth up to 0.3 on some games, which makes it more than a point multiplier because if you're already emerald, you get 0.3. And so the extra 0.3 makes it 0.6. And so when they give you multiple points, it's less than that. Sun Coast gives you 7 times points on Tuesdays and Thursdays, but better not play the $5. 9-6 bonus poker deluxe because I'll kick your ass out of there. And Sam's Town gives you 5 times points on Thursdays, and there's a drawing where 10 people get $300. They have slot tournaments and buffet discounts. Silverton has 2 drawings on Mondays for seniors. Some casinos, although senior drawings are pretty nickel and dime stuff, some are worthwhile. And so, and some are worth something to some people and not others, like 2-for-1 movie tickets. If you're somebody who pays retail to go to the movies and that's important to you, then 2-for-1 movie tickets is a good deal. If you don't go to movies, if they're not free, well, then they aren't such a good deal. Next week, I'll talk about some kind of promotion where the younger people can participate as well. And for all players, the classes at South Point start next Wednesday. And if you haven't been to them recently, a refresher course on the games will improve your situation. We have Greg Brown on the phone. Greg Brown is from our friends over at videopoker.com, who are the makers of Triple Play and Five Play and Quick Quants and other games. So welcome, Greg Brown. What's new at videopoker.com?
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. I'm good. What's new? We have our monthly tournament happening right now. It's going to be going on through the end of the month where people could play a new game called Extra Action Poker. I think you've heard of it.
I have heard of it. I've been playing it today.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Extra Action Poker because that's a game that many people have no idea what it's all about. So you want to tell them about it, or do you want me to? You start.
Sure. Well, it's a game where for double coin in, so it's a three-line game. You pay an extra 15 credits, so it's a 30-credit bet. And if you get an ace on the draw or on the deal, you get 12 opportunities to win, you know, 12 more hands where those ace applies. I don't know if I said that in a way that people understand it, but it's just a 12-hand bonus if you get an ace on the draw, on the deal.
Well, everything you said is right, except I'm gonna explain it differently.
Please.
It can be a triple play, a five player, probably 10 play.
Yep.
And you can pay as a bonus 5 coins and get 4 hands. You can play 10 coins and get 8 hands, or you can play 15 extra coins and get 12 hands. So
right,
the bonus
exactly
applies to what you get on the deal. So on all games,
yep,
based on where aces, 4 aces is a good card, then the aces are the special ones. On the game such as Deuces Wild or Deuces Bonus, then it's whether or not you get deuces. So if you get,
yep,
then you have a pay schedule for 3-of-a-kind, 4-of-a-kind, royals, etc., on each of the
yep
hands, and they're all dealt independently. Now, how much it is, the advantage to this game is there is no additional strategy changes. So if you find it on 8-5 bonus, for example, and you already know how to play 8-5 bonus, then you know how to play 8-5 bonus extra action poker. And
right,
you get those extra hands, and they add value. So they add somewhere between 0.05 and 0.15, somewhere in that general range. So if,
yeah,
if you find it on a game with a pay schedule that you like, always take the extra action poker because it's going to add extra. Does
yeah
that sound?
I think the return's like, yep, like 99% versus 98, you know, on that type of schedule.
Well, it's actually on 8-5 bonus, it's 99.24 versus 99.17.
Yep, to be exact. There you go.
There you go. So
I think the one, it sounds more complicated than it is. I think once you start playing it, you figure it out right away. At least I did when I started playing it.
Yeah, there's no skill involved in it. It is, unless you know how to willfully cause aces to be drawn. And if if you do, I want to meet you. Have I got a deal for you? I can hire you at a very good wage, and as long as you make that work when I'm playing.
So people do love the game, at least online and through our chat and through our forums. It's, you know, that's a really exciting bonus. It's not in too deep a distribution now. I think there's 20 or 30 machines out there.
Uh-huh.
You can go to the website to find out where if you want to go check it out or play it on the site during this week's contest, because after the contest's over, only gold members can play it because it's one of our newer games.
Okay, so gold members playing. Remind us again what gold members, what does it take to be a gold member?
So for $8.95 a month or $80 a year, you can become a gold member, which gives you several benefits. The training mode, which we've talked about before, where you get to kind of learn a little bit as you go, not quite as in-depth as video poker for winners.
But it's a red light, green light situation.
Yep. You don't see advertising, which a lot of people like. That can be annoying. And, you know, other advantages. So we have about 3,000 members that are gold, and they seem to enjoy it. So you can always get a 7-day free trial.
Well, you can always get a 7-day free trial if you haven't had a 7-day free trial before.
Right. Or email me, and at greg.brown@videopoker.com, and I'll let you do it again.
Okay, good. So, perfect. Anything else you wanted to tell us while we're here?
No, I think that's what we got going on, and check it out on the site. I think you'll enjoy the game.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Okay.
And good to hear you again. We'll talk to you next month.
Okay, Bob. Thanks.
All righty. That was Greg Brown from videopoker.com. The game there is Extra Action Poker, which might turn out to be a good deal. If I can find it on a pay schedule I like, I will definitely play it rather than the straight game. Because it adds a little bit, and every little bit is a little bit extra. All right, so we're still waiting to get Al Francesco on the line. And so let me hear a few little words from our sponsors. The Palms is giving away a 2011 Mercedes-Benz E350 this Saturday. The way it works is on Fridays and Saturdays at 7, they pull 10 winners. The top five get either somewhere between $500 and $1,500 in cash, plus a drawing ticket to the final. The next five get $250 and no drawing ticket. So the final's this Friday. I have one ticket, not likely to get any more. Although I will be there Saturday, and I will have like four tickets in the drum this week, whereas I had 4,000 in the drum the week that I won the ticket. So it's possible that I'll win, but I'm not expecting to show up there. After the drawing on Friday, then you start earning tickets for next week's drawing. So for all of the month of September, which starts next Friday as far as the Palms drawings, on Friday and Saturdays, they are having a Choose Your Destiny drawing. What this is the winners, they get a choice of $1,500 or play a game. And on the game, they have four envelopes with a zero in it, a one in it, a two in it, and a three in it. You don't know which is which. And you line them up in any way you want. And then you read the answer in dollars. So if you get really lucky, then you can get the 3210, which would be $3,210. If your luck runs out, then it's $123. So the average of all of these is $1,667. Or you can settle for the $1,500 and just don't go through that process. Now, Munchkin and I were talking about what kind of people would take the $1,500 and what kind of people would take the would gamble it up. Now, I would definitely gamble it up.
So I would gamble it up, too. But all the people you see on TV playing Deal or No Deal, they'd all take the $1,500.
Well, good. So do you have a way to set up a poll?
I do. I'm going to set up a poll on blackjackinfo.com.
Blackjackinfo.com.
And so, ask people, would they take the $1,500 or take the $1,666?
And I'm going to, once he sets that up and lets me know, I'm going to post the information on VP Free. So how do people go to the blackjackinfo.com? Blackjack, is that what it is?
It's blackjackinfo.com.
Okay, good.
But you could also email either of us or post it on my Facebook let us know what you think.
We're going to see how many people would take the guaranteed 15 and how many people would gamble it up for an EV of 1667. All right, that's the Palms. Al Francesco's on the line. Richard, why don't you tell us who Al Francesco is?
I first became aware of Al Francesco in 1976. Ken Houston wrote a book called The Big Player. And in it, he described going to work for the mysterious Al Francesco, who was running a professional blackjack team and had come up with this concept called the big player. And I've known Al for many years now. I've had the privilege of playing with him. And so I'm really happy to have him on the show tonight. Al, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
Okay. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, so just so we can get everybody sort of off on the right foot here, would you explain to people, our listeners, what the big player concept is?
Sure. To start with, casinos don't like educated players to be playing, especially if they have a skillful way of beating the game. They like losers, and I don't like to be a loser. So I developed a method that makes me look like a sucker, and they like suckers. And the way I did it, I taught a group of my friends how to play blackjack. I taught them how to count. And when the count became good, when you would, a counter would normally place a big bet, this person was not allowed to raise his bet. He always made minimum bets, which at that time was either $2 or $5. And But it, instead of raising his bet, he would put his arm, his fist on his chin. It's just like a resting position, and seems like one-third or one-half of the people in a casino while they're playing blackjack are doing that. So it doesn't look like a signal. But if Alfred, the big player knows that one of his players is giving that signal, putting his fist up to his chin, that means something. It means it's a hot deck. So it's time for Al to walk up to that table and start making some big bets. And at the time, the big bets at that time were, the maximum bets were 500 per spot or 1,000 a spot. Just a couple casinos had 1,000 per spot, but most of them were 500. So I would place three bets on a table of $500, and I would be taking the money out of my pocket, counting it out, and it gave the counter time for to him to give me a signal on exactly what the card count was. And the method was he'd touch his arm in a certain spot from his fingers to his elbow, actually to his shoulder, and that would tell me the numbers between one and 50. And
50.
Right. And it, most of the times, if I got the signal late, then it might be up to 50. But most of the times, I got it a lot sooner, and count might be.
You were not using like the simple high low. You were using a two or three level count.
I was using the Revere Advanced Point Count,
which is a three level count, right?
Right.
So, but it was only.
So
plus
the two.
Two
count might only be five or something, but the running counts would
running
get much
count.
Higher with that.
He was giving me the running count because I didn't want to teach my counters. You know, I didn't want to teach him that step.
Okay.
I wanted to keep it as simple for him as possible.
So then when the count was in your favor, you would come and bet a bunch, and the pit wouldn't be worried because they knew that you couldn't have been there counting because you were somewhere else.
I was at another table, or I was on the other side of the casino or something like that, and they were aware of that. So they thought I was a big sucker. They just thought that I liked to just make big bets and bob around from table to table, which is what I did for constantly for about three and a half hours. And I would stay at that one table that I was called into as long as the deck was positive, because once he gave me the count, I could figure out the true count because I could see the discard tray, right, how many cards were gone, and make a calculation on what the true count was. And I knew exactly what my edge was. I knew exactly how to play any given hand that was dealt to me. And I knew whether to hit, stand, double, split, surrender, take insurance.
Right. Now, what made you decide to hire Ken Houston as your big player?
I was dating a girl.
Always a girl.
Well, I'm dating this girl, and Ken Houston was dating the same girl. And she knew about me. And she knew that Ken had an interest in blackjack because he made a couple trips. And so she said, she told him that he should meet me. So she gave him my phone number, and I didn't mind. I was recruiting people at that time. And so he called me up, and I had him come over to my place, and I interviewed him. And he seemed like he'd be perfect for the job. So I hired him. Biggest mistake ever made, but you know, I didn't know that at the time. He was a decent player, but he had a big ego. Making money wasn't the most important thing to him. Getting his name out in the public and having a reputation of being the best blackjack player in the world was more important to him.
So he wrote a book. And that kind of blew you out of the water.
Yeah, when the book was written, he didn't tell any of us about it. I had 30 people on my team, and everyone on the team was extremely pissed off because of what he did, and everybody was surprised just like I was. But the book came out a week or two before we made another trip, And while we're, Ken's in one casino, he was in the Sands, and Blair Hull was in the Stardust, I believe, or the Frontier, I'm not sure which. Bill Erb was in another casino. So I had three big players out at the same time. I had three teams going on at the same time.
Uh-huh.
And the casinos read the book, you know, when it came out, and we were unaware that the book was out and published, and so we just kind of walked into a trap. Within an hour or two, they just rounded up a bunch of our players and backroomed them and took their pictures, and, you know, it ended the careers of a lot of these people.
Interesting. The books inspired, like, the MIT team or the Czech team or several of the others. So the
right.
books were the takeoff point for a lot of teams, but they seemed to be the death of your team. Is that correct?
Yeah, they were able to pull it off after we were busted, but they couldn't pull it off with as smoothly as I did, and they didn't have the variance, and they couldn't put in long plays like I did, because when I was doing it in the afternoon, we would go out to casinos, and I had three teams. Each team consisted of one big player and six counters. So you had six counters out there counting for them, and most of the times, at that time, they were sitting at a blackjack table with one other player at the table, or they were at the table by themselves. So they had a perfect situation all the time, all six counters. And when we had about a 1.5% edge, that's when they were instructed to call in the big player. And I was one of the big players originally, and then I found other people to take my place, Ken Houston, Bill Erb, and Blair Hull, and they did a good job, except, Ken didn't, but up to a point, I thought he was doing a good job. The way it turned out, after I really analyzed all of his play, he broke out even for me all the time he was playing for me. And Blair Hull and Bill Erb were picking up all of his slack, his deficiencies. And we end up winning about 2.1% overall on all of our action. But it was Bill and Blair Hull that won all the money.
So a few years later, after that team broke up because of the book, you got involved with Ken Houston again, working with Keith Taft using the hidden computers. I should point out that computers were legal at that time. There were no laws
right.
against using computers.
Right.
And you had these hidden computers that you would operate with your toes, but you were working with Ken Houston again. What would persuade you to do that?
I was retired at the time, and after the bust in Vegas, I retired, and Ken Houston and Bill Erb continued playing, and they were doing a lot of hole carding and guerrilla BPs, and they made some pretty good money. And then somewhere along the line, there was an article written about. Ken wrote a lot of articles for some of the big magazines, Hustler and Playboy, and articles in the New York Times, I believe. And Keith Taff had this idea. He was a genius putting together concealed computers and anything along that line. He was just a master, and he was looking for someone to run a team for him. And so he hired Ken, and Ken had a team for him, and they were spreading their bet quite a bit with this computer. And the computer that when they were using it, I think they didn't have it in their shoes. They had it on their thigh, and they were operating it with their hands on their thigh. And I think Ken made some money with it, but it didn't last very long, and they were arrested. One of Keith's sons was arrested, and it was over with Ken and his team. And then Keith Taft was looking for someone else to run a team, and Ken thought about me, and he recommended me. So Keith called me up, and I put together a team. But Ken was not on the second team.
Oh. Yeah.
Being ripped off by team members has to be an ever-present possibility. What procedures did you use to prevent this or to detect it when it happened? And when you did find someone you suspected of stealing, I assume you didn't take them out into the desert and bury them. So, but what did you do?
One of my first big players was a guy by the name of Lloyd Johnson, and he was one of my best friends. And he was the first guy I trained for the job. And I was in the background watching it, and or I might be in a motel room, but most of the times I was in the casino at a distance and kind of watching, and you can't get too close, otherwise you get spotted. And after a few trips, I think it was about five or six trips, he had more money than he was supposed to, according to his wins. And because I paid these guys pretty good, but he had a lot more money than he was supposed to. At that time, he had at least $35,000 more than he should, because I knew what he was worth when he started the team, and I knew the way he was spending his money and things that he bought. The only reason he had that money is because he was ripping us off. So I just told him that he wasn't doing a good job of playing, and he was unlucky or whatever it was, but no longer on the team. But I didn't accuse him of cheating, because I didn't know whether he would get mad and go and tell the Griffin agency what we're doing or the casinos. So I didn't want any repercussions from it. So I just wanted to let him go smoothly, quietly in a way.
Interesting. But, and you always...
Is that the way you continued to deal with it, or it never happened again, or...?
The only people I had to worry about with this concept was the big players. And I trusted Bill Erb 100%, Blair Hall 100%, and Ken close to 100%. You know, he had other ways of doing bad things to hurt you financially. Yeah. But ripping you off wasn't one of them. But he would sometimes, when he had his own teams, he would go out drunk and lose $10,000 and want to chalk it off to the team.
Just gambling.
Yeah, yeah.
Those vodka grapefruits can do it.
Yeah, and another time he was conned in some type of a coin toss game for $10,000, and he wanted to chalk that off to the team.
Yeah. So advantage players are always looking for ways to beat the casinos.
Correct.
And in the 90s, you had a very different way of making money from gambling. You actually took a step onto the other side, banking games in California. Tell us about that.
Well, I started at a card room in Pacheco, California, which is 20 miles out of Oakland. And for 6 months, I banked this game myself. It was a blackjack game, so I was familiar with the game a lot. It was easy for me to bank it. And
this is because the casinos themselves and the card rooms in California were not allowed to actually bank the action themselves.
Correct. They can't take any action. The only way that they can make money is by charging all of their customers a fee for every bet that they place. And it was usually amounted to a dollar for every 100 that they bet. Or sometimes it was, if they only made a $10 bet, they still had to, it still cost them a dollar.
Hard to win.
That's right.
But good to bank.
That's right. Well, actually, it was better to be the card room. Because when you're the banker, you've got a few people trying to cheat you. You've got the players themselves. You've got the dealer, who he's the one that's dealing all the cards and controlling all the chips, picking and paying the wins and losses. And then another person you've got to worry about is your own banker, the one that's working for you, and you're paying him. And sometimes it's a combination of any one of those, two of those three.
Or the tribe? Would the tribe rip you off?
No.
These aren't tribes. These are card rooms, like the Commerce Club in L.A. or the Bicycle Club.
Okay.
Or,
right.
So these not would. Okay. So I was just wouldn't be like the Morongo Casino, which would have
no.
banked.
Although when they first opened, they did have players banking the games, but they did get the right to bank their own pretty quickly.
Okay.
But the card rooms to this day are still player banked.
Right. And there's a bunch of card rooms in California, and some of them are large. You know, some of the card rooms are the size of casinos in Las Vegas.
Yeah, Hollywood Park or...
Yeah, and some of them actually do a lot more business than some of the casinos on particular type of games, like... Paigao. The action in California card rooms is much, much higher in the California card rooms than it is in Las Vegas because of the way the game is dealt. In Las Vegas, the casinos bank the game themselves. And the players have an option to bank it, but they don't make it good for them to make a profit. So the casino is always banking it. But in California card rooms, it's the players are banking it a lot of time. There's a syndicate, which is what I own right now, and then there's a bunch of small players that don't have a huge bankroll, and they want to get in on action too, so they bank it every chance that they get.
Interesting.
So at the moment, I have somewhere around 125 people working in various card rooms throughout California.
Banking Paigao or in other games?
Banking some of the Indian games and blackjack and, whatever games come out. Now another popular game is three-card poker.
Uh-huh. Good. I like three-card poker, especially when the dealers are a little bit sloppy. Now, in the Houston books, the teams use the Revere Advanced Strategy Count, which is a somewhat complicated system. Tommy Hyland.
If I'd have known better, I would have used a simple point count.
Okay, so that's my whole question. The Hyland team and the MIT team, they use the high-low count, which is a lot easier.
Yeah.
And so you would just, if you had to do it over again, you would have used a simpler count.
Much, for sure, because it's less chance of errors. And you could do it for a longer period of time without getting fatigued. Less errors, mainly.
Very good. The
One other thing I wanted to ask you about. Didn't you bankrupt a casino in France?
Yes, my first trip to France was. There was a casino in northern France. The city was called Dieppe. It's 2 hours north of Paris. And it's the first casino I walked into in France. And they had about 150 casinos there, but most of them were real small. And this particular casino was the eighth largest one in France. And that's the first one I stepped into. And they had three blackjack tables. And Bill Erb and I were together. It was just the two of us on this trip. And we went there with $45,000. We started off in London. We lost $5,000 in London. Then we went to Dieppe, and we proceeded to lose $39,000 of the $40,000 we had. So we had $1,000 left. And I had more money at home, so I wired for it. And my girlfriend and Bill's girlfriend were both learning how to count. And so we had them pick up the money from my brother, and they brought it out to France. And as soon as they got there and they joined the team and they start giving us signals, we start winning. And we got our $39,000 back plus another $20,000. And then the three of them wanted to continue on the rest of France because they thought that we'd see the same situation over and over again. And I was against it because I wanted to kind of milk this place while we could. But I always did everything on a Democratic basis, and I was outvoted 3-1, so we left. And we started looking for other casinos, and we didn't find another one anywhere near as good. We found small operations where, you know, we might make $10,000 or something like that, and that was about it. And a couple weeks later, you know, our time was out, and we usually had 6 weeks plane trips, and where we could, you know, get the best rate on the planes, and we were committed to 6 week trips, and we came back to the States. But we knew that we had a missed opportunity in Dieppe, so 2 weeks later we're back there, and the four of us are back there, and we start winning, and we just continue to start winning from the get go on the second trip. And in about 2.5 weeks, I guess it was, the casino owner threw up his hands and he says, "That's it." He says, "I quit. You guys, you broke me." And and at the time, we were not collecting all of the monies that we won, you know, because it was it was a big casino, and they had a 4-story hotel with, you know, about 300 rooms, and it looked like he was in solid financial position, but evidently he wasn't, because he just built that hotel, and and he had to borrow a lot of money in order to do so. So he wasn't as well off as we thought, so he owed us about $130,000, I think, and we collected the rest of it, but we beat him for $240,000 altogether. And he said he couldn't pay us what he owed us, so we tried to make a deal with him, and he said he did say that he had a farm that he could sell, but in order to sell it, he'd have to do it on a quick sale, but he'd do what he could. And so we went along with him, and we started traveling the rest of France, and I would stay in touch with him. I'd call him every 2-3 days, and then after about 2 weeks, he said that he made a deal. He sold the farm, and he had some money for me. So I went to Dieppe to collect it, and the other three stayed in a casino about an hour away from Paris, and continued playing. And when I went to Dieppe to collect the money, he had $100,000 cash for me, we made a deal where I gave him a $30,000 discount. Because he had to sell the farm at a discounted price,
I don't blame you for making
$100,000 cash.
Yeah. I'd consider myself lucky to get out of there with the $100. Seems like a good deal to me.
Fascinating story, Al. We're going to let you run. Thank you very much for sharing your stories with us. You're one of the icons in blackjack, and thank you for sharing with Gambling with an Edge.
Okay.
Thanks, Al.
Okay.
All right, Richard. What did you learn from that interview?
Boy.
Well, then let me address the question first, because I've been thinking about it, and then you can come up with something scintillating in the next couple of minutes. What I learned is he let somebody who cheated him go, and he didn't prosecute him, and he basically didn't accuse him, because he was more fearful of the repercussions of accusing somebody of cheating than he was in terms of, he figured he wasn't going to get the money back or something. I thought that was interesting.
You know, that's often the case. And I don't know any stories where, where anything has ever happened good for the people who got ripped off. Certainly, I've been involved with teams that have gotten ripped off. We one time had a player who was going from Caesars Tahoe to Harrah's next door. The big player, he left the hotel room at Caesars. We're waiting for him in Harrah's, and he just never showed up. And he left with $20,000. He just went to the airport and left. And that was the last we saw him. And
you never ever saw him again?
Talked to him on the phone at one point later. And, you know, his story was that he had been mugged on his way from Caesars to Harrah's. And
the muggers just happened to drop him off at the airport.
And he was so ashamed that he couldn't face us, you know. But as I say, I don't know any case. I mean, you can't prosecute somebody, really. I mean, there's the police aren't going to get involved. You know, I don't know any good answer to how to deal with those.
Interesting. I guess I hadn't really thought about that. So, all right, you've had 2 minutes to think about it. What did you learn?
I mean, a lot of this, I've known Al a long time, so I've known a lot of what he had to say prior to this. But I think the big lesson is to constantly be thinking about ways to beat the game. And so for him to see the opportunity to actually go on the other side in California and bank those games, in essence, be the house, you know, was another form of advantage play. And he leapt in and took advantage of it. And let me tell you, those card rooms in California were the wild, wild west. I mean, every kind of cheating and skullduggery you can possibly imagine was going on in those places. So,
well, there's stories about him in Korea that we could have asked him, but we didn't. I suspect that was kind of the Wild West, too.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some of our sponsors. South Point has more than 10,000 video poker machines, or more games on these machines, returning more than 99%, more than anywhere else in the world. The August promotion, almost over. $900,000 cash is king. It's an everyday giveaway. One person gets $10,000. Nine more get $1,000. If you're there when they call your name for $10,000, it's doubled to $20,000. Otherwise, everybody has 24 hours to pick up the money or it evaporates. There's a new sign-up promotion going on. Now, this sign-up promotion is worth $150, but it's spread out over 3 months. To qualify for it, it's not trivial. Number one, you have to be a Nevada resident. And number two, you can never have had a card at the South Point in the past. And the third is you got to sign up by next Friday, September 2nd. So if you do that, then that you will get over 3 weeks, $10 a week in free play. And then the fourth week, if you've collected the first 30, you will get 20. So it's a total of $50 per week, per month. For 3 months, adding up to $150. My next semester of free video poker classes at the South Point will take place on Wednesdays, beginning August 31st, which is 6 days from now. One brand new class this semester will be Advanced NSU Deuces Wild. So we're going to discuss numerous penalty cards in this game. So even if this is not your game, getting used to the idea what penalty cards are all about can make you more savvy at all the other games as well. At the M, which promotion you get depends on what day of the week it is. On Mondays, they have a mystery multiplier. And for video poker players, it's either 1x, 2x, or 3x. It's much higher for slots. And so most players, at least one Monday a month, are getting the 3x multiplier, which is as high as it gets for video poker there. And it's a day you have to pick up your free play anyway if you want to collect it. So it starts at noon. So if you get there at 10 in the morning, you're playing first 2 hours with a 1x multiplier, which isn't so good. Wednesdays, they have a drawing, 6 o'clock. 40 people get called for cash or free play. And 10 more get dinner at either Anthony's or Manelli's. Top prize is $10,000, and a total of about $17,000 is given away in awards. You do not have to be present to win, but you do need to collect it before 7 that night, or it's forfeited, so you get an hour to get there. Fridays, they have a hot seat promotion at 4, 6, 8, and 10, $250 in that day. Qualifies you must have your card in the machine when the drawing takes place. So it is a low roller kind of an event, because $250 coin in is not that much to play. All right. Richard, who we got next week?
Next week, we have Andy Block, originally from the MIT team. So he can talk about the movie 21 and playing on the famous MIT team. Here's a guy who got a degree at MIT and then went to Harvard Law School and now is a professional poker player. So I'm sure his parents are very happy with the money they spent on that education. But he is one of the top poker players in the world today. So looking forward to that. It'll be interesting to talk about the differences between the blackjack world and the poker world. If he's anything like my interview with Kathy Hulbert, those two worlds are very, very different.
Well, good. And I don't know that he can talk about it. He's also one of the Full Tilt poker pros. I don't know that they're going to be able to talk about that, but we're going to ask him, and if he can't talk about it, that's what he's going to tell us.
Right.
Now, the following week, on the 8th, we're going to have Steve Fezzik. Fezzik is probably the number one sports handicapper around. He's won football contest at the Hilton, which is it's a $5,000 entry. You pick against the spread. It's the most competitive contest in town. He won it 2 years in a row, which is basically unheard of. And he's associated with LVA Sports, so that's the Las Vegas Advisor. So if you're listening next week, or in 2 weeks when he's on, there will be some sort of incentive for you to join the LVA Sports and participate in that at a discount. So if that's of all of interest, that'll be in 2 weeks. We've been talking about money subjects for a while, including lines of credit and going through airports and going through cars. What I want to talk about tonight is valet parking versus self-parking in terms of safety and in terms of money and stuff like that. So, Richard, do you want to go first on that?
Sure. I do both, and it depends on what I'm doing.
Okay.
If I am checking into a hotel and I'm going to be there basically on what I would call a comp play, where I'm not in any kind of danger of being barred or anything nasty happen, then I often valet. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to a place to make an advantage play, I will usually self-park, or I will park at another casino, not the one I'm actually playing at.
So that you can make a quick getaway.
Well, and so that they can't get my license plate as they watch me get into my car and run my plate, and which has happened to me in places.
Yeah, there are. Last week, Vinny DiCarlo indicated that getting the parking license numbers of people in the car is a very common thing. I usually use self-parking, and I watch where I park. I don't park next to pillars. Now, not because I'm worried about banging the car door, although I am, but I don't want anybody jumping out. I am very aware of what I'm doing when I'm walking to my car. If I've been paid big, where big is at least $2,000, so that it may not be big to me, but it could be big to somebody who's watching me. It's at least a half hour before I leave the casino, and I walk around before I leave. And if it's bigger than that, I will tip a security guy $5 or $10 to walk me to my car. Now, nothing's ever happened with a security guy. A lot of these guys are real. The security guys are wusses. They wouldn't scare away anybody.
Sometimes they would. Depends.
Yeah, so they would normally not. Somebody who had bad thoughts in my direction would tend to go for an easier target. So that's what I do on good. So we have 10 seconds left. I want everybody to hit lots of royal flushes, and we're going to talk next week about whether you take the 1500 or the 1667.
You've been listening to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts Bob Dancer and Richard W. Munchkin. Archived versions of past shows may be found on bobdancer.com and richardmunchkin.com. We welcome emails at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. Bob Dancer and Richard W. Munchkin are both on Facebook and welcome your input or questions. The sponsors for the show are the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa, the M Resort, the Palms Casino Resort, and the website videopoker.com. Join us again next week for another Gambling with an Edge. Money.
My name is Jeffrey Burke, and I'm the host of the Staying Healthy Show here on KLAV. The Staying Healthy Show is now on KLAV 10 times per week. 10 times for you to hear the best guest in the industry and learn about the best nutritional products available for your good health. You can hear my show weekday mornings at 8 and a new show again at 5. Both shows are drive time for your listening pleasure. The show is sponsored by Stay Healthy Health Food Store, located at 840 South Rancho Drive in the Rancho Town and Country Center on the northwest corner of Charleston and Rancho. The hours of the store are Monday through Friday from 9 to 7 p.m., Saturdays 9 to 6, and closed on Sundays. Wayne Rudolph built his store with three principles in mind: great products and selection, a knowledgeable staff, and memorable service every time you visit his store. Please tune into the Staying Healthy Show 10 times per week here on KLAV. I'm looking forward to chatting with all of you and helping you get healthy, be healthy, and stay healthy.
Hi, this is Steve Crowley, our national radio program, Steve Crowley's American Scene. We're 21 years young on the air, and the real news, the good news, is that American Scene is airing now right here on KLAV AM 1230, Monday through Friday mornings at 10 a.m. Our programs help you survive and prosper through up and down economies. So join us for Steve Crowley's American Scene weekdays at 10 right here on KLAV, the talk of Las Vegas.
Hi, this is Todd Barton with the Barton Bishop Real Estate Group. Join our team at 11 a.m. every Friday on KLAV for How It Works in Real Estate.
And this is Chris Bishop with the Barton Bishop Real Estate Group. We will be discussing short sales, bank-owned properties, and other hot topics. Discuss with our guests each week.
And I'm Amy with the Barton Bishop Real Estate Group. Join our team every Friday at 11 a.m. on KLAV for How It Works in Real Estate.
Is your landlord taking advantage of you? Is the bank about to foreclose on your house? Have you been denied unemployment or other government benefits? Has your landlord discriminated against you? Don't give up the fight. Listen to Nevada Legal Services' new program, Legal Services On Air, every Friday afternoon at 4.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right.
Hi, this is Brad Snyder and Joanna McFarlane, new hosts of the radio program Our House, the Zip Realty Radio Show, every Wednesday at 11 a.m.
On this show, we will offer you insider tips on what you should know about the real estate market before you make your next purchase or sale. On Our House, we will talk all things real estate, from finding the right house, what loan is right for you, all the way down to home safety and decorations. We may be in Las Vegas, but when it comes to buying or selling a home, it shouldn't be a gamble.
Have your questions answered here every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on Our House, the Zip Realty Radio Show.
I'm Dr. Dana Trippi.
And I'm Dr. Eric Evanson.
Join us on Thursdays at 9 a.m. for our new radio show, Weight Loss Unplugged,
where we'll give you the 411 on weight loss and wellness.
We will discuss the latest issues regarding the overweight or obese for children, teens, and adults.
We'll be bringing human enlightenment while taking questions from listeners as we discuss the importance of losing extra weight through better nutrition, behavioral modification, exercise, and pharmacotherapy.
With the nation's waistline expanding, there's never been a better time to take an active role in losing weight
while becoming healthier and happier.
So tune in Thursday mornings at 9 a.m. here at KLAV.
Hi, this is Vandana Chima of Exit Realty Chima Group. Join Brandon Roberts and I every Thursday at 11 a.m. on KLAV for our show, Real Estate Exposed, the Exit Realty Radio Show, where we discuss all things real estate, including foreclosures, short sales, loan modification, credit restoration, how to buy at the auction, and much, much more. Listen every Thursday at 11 a.m. to the Real Estate Exposed Show on KLAV 1230 a.m.
Nebraska football returns to KLEV, and you can follow the Huskers throughout the 2011 season. On game days, join me, Gary Bowden, 1 hour before the kickoff for the Cornhusker Countdown Show. Co-host John Bishop and Al Makowicz check in from Nebraska to give our listeners an exclusive 30-minute program that features news and views on the Huskers, plus an overview of their upcoming opponent. Following Cornhusker Countdown, stay tuned as we join the Husker Sports Network for more pregame programming, all leading up to the game and the play-by-play broadcast. So make KLEV your Husker headquarters.
Hey, this is Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers for Rad. I'm here to remind you that drunk drivers are still a major killer of young adults in this country. So always choose a designated driver, and remember, music lives, you should too.
Getting on in the state of Mississippi, Papa was a copper and a mama was a hippie.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Rad, the National Association.
Love us on radio, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter. We are KLAV 1230 AM.
You're listening to KLAV Las Vegas.